In 1981, Dr. Effie Dennis became the first woman to serve as vice president of the U.S. Olympic Committee and did so for 7 years. She was also the chief of mission for the USOC 1988 Olympics and for 2 Pan American Games. Dr. Dennis is also inducted into the National Track and Field Hall of Fame. Greetings again. I'm Adam Morgan. For Black History Month, Dr. Effie Dennis, also the first woman superintendent for Denver Public Schools, is our guest again for this edition.
One attraction that I still have that I have to deal with, Pia. That's what brought me into this. She came home one day and said, "Mom, I want to run track." I said, "Go away. I don't know what you're talking about. Don't bother me." Well, being the persistent child that she was and still is, I finally said, "Tell that coach to come and talk to me." So he did. And we got together and we got to talking and we formed a little track club called the Denver All-Stars. And from that, it led from one thing to the other to where I became vice president of the U.S. Olympic Committee. It grew from one thing to the other.
I know you're saying one thing to the other, but from high school local athletics to the Olympics, that's an involvement jump. Like, ooh, I really like this. I want to be a part. Give me some more. That's for sure.
Somebody that kept pushing me to be a part of that is what I'm saying. That's Pia. And she wanted to do this, and whatever she was wanting to do, I was supportive of that, as long as it was right, the right thing to do.
So she wanted you to become involved with the Olympic movement then?
Well, she wanted me to support her, and my support of her and my involvement on what I wanted her to see and to do led me from one thing to the other. I saw the need at the Olympic level to have an input from somebody like me, because it wasn't there in both ways.
Probably there when you walked in the room, the only people of color they had seen were on the track or in the venues, but not in administration at all.
Administration, no.
How was your presence received?
Overall, I would say good. But I had some pitfalls, you know, some people who didn't think I was doing what needed. And that's true in any way you go. But I think overall it was okay.
Now, you went to the Olympic Games, and at the Olympic Games you were looking after the athletes or helping with that for their other needs that they may have that were off the track or out of the performance venue?
At my beginning level, yes, I was helping with the athletes and what they were doing as a staff person. And then I became involved more in the governance and the administrative level because I saw the need there and I thought, okay, I think I can do that. So,
what was the most exciting Olympics for you?
Most exciting Olympics for me? I guess Tokyo was good. Russia was very interesting. I mean, something that I would not have anticipated, but that was an interesting assignment. So,
I'm curious there. What made it so much fun, or the group of athletes there, or the challenges there? The challenges.
Being in a Russian country, being who I am and was, and at my level, it was kind of odd to them for the USA to have somebody like me as a leader of a team and that kind of thing. But overall, it was a good experience.
Do you think today's athletes, or should I say contrast today's athletes when against the ones when you started, are the athletes better? Do they need more support when they're going to Olympic Games than then? How are they there? Someone's still afraid to be away from home, and you have to make sure that they're okay.
I don't know. I'm so far removed from that, I don't know how they're feeling, but it seems like they all seem to be happy when they're doing this, so things must be okay. I don't see it changing to where the athletes wouldn't be happy with what's going on.
When you went to an Olympics, what's the first thing you had to do then? Make sure all the housing was good, or make sure all their gear arrived, or what?
First thing we had to do is get it all ready here at this level, at home. You got to pack up the clothes, you got to get everything ready, you got to get them immunized, you got to do all those kinds of things to get them ready to travel to the games. And then you got to be awake 24/7.
24/7?
Yes. I mean, you nap in between, but when I say awake, you're aware of what's going on, because you're dealing with a bunch of athletes, male and female, and you've got them away from their parents and all kinds of things going on, and you want to make certain you bring them back home like you took them. And you have to make certain your staff is on board and making sure that that's happening. Because ultimately, the person who was going to be blamed for anything happening at that point would have been Evie.
Yeah.
And you don't want that to happen. So.
And I think what a lot of people forget about is that they say these are world-class athletes. They should know how to behave. They should know how to do all this stuff. But at the same time, they're teenagers.
Worst in the world. Because they think they have arrived and I am important and I am smart and I know all the things. So you got problems that you have to really stay on top of.
Did you have curfews and stuff that had to be enforced?
Yeah, I was not going to be blamed for taking a bunch of athletes to a games and bringing two or three of them back having babies. I was not going to be a part of that. So we had curfews and we had watch people and the whole thing to make certain that didn't happen.
Didn't you have some athletes that traveled alone there on their own to get there? Meaning, I guess most of us think that everybody gets on a United 747 and the whole team goes at once, but there's some athletes that are performing elsewhere in the world and they show up just about the time their events are scheduled.
But who's with that athlete that's performing around wherever they are in the world to make certain they get on the plane and somebody's at the plane to meet them when they get there? So you got that kind of communication going. You had to have a staff that was on their toes and ready. Necessary.
Now, did you go over before the athletes arrived then to prepare for their arrival the same way you were saying you had to prepare to get all the gear and get them ready to go from the States? Did you go ahead of their arrival to make sure stuff was there?
Yes, you had to be there to make certain things were in order. All the cars were here to pick them up. The beds were ready. And darn moms were in place and the whole bit.
The Don Juans or the moms?
Dormitory moms.
Ah. You had moms for the dorms, too. Of some of the athletes that you met and you saw perform, are there a few that make you want to smile and say, I'm glad I saw them do that, or that's a quality person, I'm glad that I met them?
I think there are a lot of them. Yeah. A lot of them still around. I had one that was 15, 16 years old, Mary Decker, because she was 15 when she was going, we were in Yugoslavia when she was competing. I kept her in the dorm, certain that I sent her back home like I got her, you know. So you had to deal with those kinds of things and be certain that you had a staff that was also alert and aware that you didn't have dormitory room hopping. It's not all fun and games.
And you also had to prepare to teach them how to interface with athletes from other countries who may have had different standards.
You choose your staff before you go there, and you make certain you've got a staff that's capable and ready and able to do this. I had to send home one person. And you might know that name. It's Carl Lewis.
The winner of 9 Olympic gold medals and 1 silver, Carl Lewis is one of America's most celebrated Olympic athletes. A dominant sprinter and long jumper, comparisons were made between Carl Lewis and the legendary Jesse Owens. At the same time, Carl had developed a perceived or misperceived public perception of sometimes being a little too self-congratulatory and egotistical, until one day at the Olympics, Carl Lewis met Evie Dennis.
Carl Lewis was a world-class sprinter, and we were in China, and Carl decided that he wasn't going to run. We were in the stadium. They're calling Carl Lewis to come to the starting line. No Carl Lewis. Carl Lewis didn't show up, and here I am. What in the world is going on? Where is he? Well, after it was all over, I said, Carl, what happened? How come you didn't run? Well, I'm sick. I said, you're sick? What's the matter? Well, I'm sick. I said, okay, sick athletes need to go home. So I sent him home. Yeah. I sent him home because he was in an athlete. So saying, well, he can get away with this. We can't do that. He can get away with this. I said, Carl, you're going home. You're sick.
What's the one thing you might recommend to parents who have athletes that are moving up to, or they think they can perform at that level and at that scale? What things should a parent be doing as well to prepare them for not only that level, but how to interface with others when they're away from the country and to do the right thing when they're not at home?
I think they should be prepared to do the right thing at home that would be, carry over into what they're doing wherever they are in the world. Because right is right in China as it is in the United States. And so you need to prepare the athlete, or need to prepare them on how they carry themselves, how they deport themselves, how you would expect them to do when they're at home. Because they're in your care. You need to bring them back home the way you got them. And so you got to make certain that they understand that. I don't have no night hopping from one room to the other. No, it ain't happening on my watch. You know, so you sit them down, and here's what happened. And I said, and they, after I sent Carl home, the word got around, if you go ever on a trip with her, don't play. Don't play with her, because she'll send you home. Yeah, and that's the way you have to deal with them. I mean, you be firm with them, you love them, and you say, I hope you win a gold medal, but hey, no hanky-panky on my watch.
I'm sure you got a lot of questions for the athletes in a lot of places about a lot of stuff. Do you remember one or two unique things that they ask about, like, what? You're asking me about that? What is this? You had to have some of those there that just surprised you.
I can't say I think of any, because at the level that I was functioning, I didn't have to deal with that. I had a staff that dealt with those kind of things.
If somebody wanted to become a part of that administrative staff, what routes should they take? Should they work in public schools, in sports administration, or just go to the Olympic website, find a job, and apply for it?
I told you how I got involved. Pia came home one day and said she wanted to run track. So I knew nothing about track. I knew nothing about the Olympic stuff other than what, I mean, I wasn't involved. And so, like I said, we formed our own little track team. You need to say if you're interested in something, you get involved in how it operates and what you can do to become a part of that if that's what you want to do. And that's how I got in it. And I said, okay, Pia, you want to run track, we got to get in here and do something about it. So,
from your time with the United States Olympic Committee, what is the one thing you wanted to accomplish that you can look back at and say, yeah, I was there, that they're still doing?
Winning the world championships. I guess that's the most important thing, the whole Olympic Games. You come out of there, the United States is number one team in the world.
And when you got back to America and you were done for that particular Olympics, was it a big sigh of relief that, oh, we got them through and I'm okay? Or did you say, oh, no, it's time to put another group together and take them?
No, I think the latter. Whew, that's done and we were successful. So we keep going. Just make it better if we can.
Of all the countries you went to, which one was the most memorable for you?
The one I love most was Sydney, Australia. I just love the people, the food, and the atmosphere, and the whole thing. I enjoyed Sydney a whole lot. And if I ever want to travel again and I have the option, somebody gives me a choice, Sydney will be the place I said I want to go again.
How did we do when we were down there? How did the team do?
Team won.
Did you do both summer and winter?
Not often, but summer and winter. I didn't go. That's just twice every 4 years.
Dr. Evie Dennis is our achieving guest for Black History Month. The first African-American superintendent for Denver Public Schools, she was also the first woman and African-American vice president of the U.S. Olympic Committee. Many thanks to her for joining us again. I'm Adam Morgan. Do keep in touch, and many thanks to you as well for sharing a few moments of your weekend with us.